speak to the resolution.
You may.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen, I know we will probably have a bit more discussion as well when we get to discussing the bill that relates to the future fund. But I am concerned about actually doing a constitutional amendment at this stage in our discussion of the future fund. We've had a great deal, I think, of information provided to us this year about the future fund, but we've also had a great deal of information provided to us and discussion about the long-term economic outlook for West Virginia and some of the challenges that we may be facing economically and budgetarily. And again, to go back to something that we've mentioned a number of times on this floor, this is the first time in that many of us have been here that we've had to actually dip into the rainy day fund to balance our budget. And so I am very much interested in trying to, if we are to move forward with the future fund, in securing those funds and making sure that they do not are not just appropriated at will without some type of a protection, that those funds basically have to have some type of a supermajority or some other type of protection if we're going to move in that direction. The problem I have with voting on a constitutional amendment tonight is that with the somewhat uncertain outlook that we have, I'm going to use a phrase that's been used to combat some of our tax reductions. How about fiscal responsibility and doing things in a fiscally responsible manner? I think it's fiscally responsible for us to proceed with this future fund with caution. If we're going to move forward with it, I think that we're not quite at the stage, we're not quite ready, I don't believe, to put forward a constitutional amendment that locks these funds away in this manner. Now, you say, well, if we don't, then they're going to be spent, or someone's going to be, trying to use them for something else. Okay, that's a valid concern. I would say that. But I think what we will be proposing and what we'll be asking this House to adopt if we move forward with the future fund is, as a first step, to say that we will only expand anything from that future fund with a two-thirds vote of the legislature, a supermajority. I think that's a more responsible way to go at this point. If we proceed with a future fund, and if we see that it works, then it would be the prerogative of this House at any time to put forward a constitutional amendment that would lock those funds away. But at this stage, are we really at the stage where we know enough about this that we are comfortable enough with our long-term economic outlook, that we're comfortable enough that we're not going to have to be dipping into rainy day fund in the future? And certainly, I know that we have heard some discussion about trying to raise taxes, which I think would be detrimental and devastating to our, not only our economic outlook for the state, but to our citizens in terms of making ends meet. So I think that what I would ask is that we kind of proceed slowly, proceed fiscally responsible, and not move forward with a constitutional amendment at this stage. Let's discuss the bill. Let's put some safeguards into that bill. Let's see how that works. And if it does work, and it is the right move, we can certainly come back here at a future date and put this into our Constitution. But I really don't think we're ready to do that at this stage. And for those reasons, I would urge caution and urge rejection of this resolution.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from the 17th, Delegate Reynolds.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had a couple questions from my colleague from the 16th.
Will the gentleman yield?
Yes.
Does this constitutional amendment oblige the state to put any funds anywhere?
No, it does not.
And could the legislature come back and, as long as the requirements were more strict than what's in this constitutional amendment, also have legislation to deal with other issues?
Yes, in fact, as I think about it, it's contemplated that we would lay out those type of details in future legislation, some of which we're about to consider after this concurrent resolution. Thank you.
Gentleman from the 40th, Elgin Armstead. Will the
gentleman yield? Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Thank you to my colleague from Cabell. Kind of following up on the comments and the questions of the gentleman from 17, this would not necessarily appropriate any money or direct any money, but if we were to pass the accompanying bill that we have on our calendar this evening, and we actually do then put funding away under that bill, would this amendment not apply to those funds?
In the way, so you're asking if we adopt the legislation directing where the money goes, and you know that's law. I would think this, the constitutional amendment, would then apply to future ideas of the legislature to divert from that current code. It would take a two-thirds majority in the House to deviate from that plan. That makes sense?
Well, I think this is talking about the principle of the future fund not being able to be spent.
Right.
Right? And do you agree? And if that be the case, and we do this evening adopt a future fund bill, that bill does direct, in fact, funds, does it not?
It does, and we'll certainly get there. The two-thirds in the constitutional amendment applies to the principle of the funds. Okay, not the income and the growth of those funds. So I just want to make that clear.
And I guess what I'm saying, and I agree with you that that's what it does, in fact, too. But what I'm saying is that if we pass this constitutional amendment, and it goes out and it's adopted by the citizens of West Virginia, and we also pass the bill that we have in front of us this evening, which actually puts funding and directs funding into this future fund, then this amendment would, in fact, tie those funds up, would it not?
So I think we're consistent. I just wanted to double-check with counsel that as the bill will be presented, the same applies in that we're not spending principal there either, just the earnings. So let's say both are adopted. Obviously, one has to go before the voters to be ratified and made part of the Constitution. But the thought is, if this legislature ever came back in the future and wanted to change the code, okay, because of the two-thirds provision in the Constitution, if we wanted to come back in and change the code to spend the principal, it would take a two-thirds majority in both houses in order to accomplish that.
Okay, but what I guess what I'm saying is if you were to proceed with the bill and we did not at this point, if we held off in terms of, which is what I'm suggesting, and we held off until we have a clearer picture of our long-term economic forecast before we actually had a constitutional amendment, because the only way that you could undo the constitutional amendment would be to run another constitutional amendment and have a vote on it. If we got into a situation down the road, let's assume our forecasts are not what you know people believe, that maybe over the next couple of years we actually start an uptrend. If we lock these monies away under this constitutional amendment, do you agree that the only way we could use them to meet the needs of the state, the immediate needs, would be to go back and amend the Constitution again?
I certainly follow where you're going. No, I don't necessarily agree. I agree on the process, okay, that the only way to undo that constitutional amendment, go back before the voters. But I think if we're prudent in our approach to the underlying legislation that I think we will take up, and we don't get out over the tips of our skis, so to speak, I don't think we will get ourselves in a position that we would have to do that. If we're cautious and again, fiscally sound on how we construct that legislation, I believe we'll be fine. But I do, as you described it, I agree with that would be the process if we wanted to undo the amendment in the future.
But would you agree that if we got into that situation and we have this constitutional amendment in place and the long-term needs of the state are not being met by existing revenues, would that would certainly only leave us a couple of choices, whether raising taxes or making drastic cuts perhaps to our budget, and we would not be able to go in and use these funds to deal with that without going back to the people of West Virginia to do that. Is that correct?
If we did not have triggers in the legislation and it was, an across-the-board X amount going into the future fund, no matter what shape we're in, other words, almost a scenario where you say you're saving money on one hand, but you're not paying your mortgage on the other, that would be a bad situation. I believe what you'll see are the triggers in place and the safeguards that we will not be in that situation.
Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
The gentleman from the 38th, Larry Lane.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Will the gentleman continue to yield?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. So if I understood correctly your answer, and I wasn't sure there for a second, but in order to, we've got both the resolution and the bill coming up here successively. Presuming that both of them pass both bodies this evening, and presuming that the amendment would then be adopted or ratified by the people, the voters, the only way to change the expenditures under the bill would be then to come back and amend the Constitution again?
No.
What would the process be for that? If we wanted to, for example, with the Medicaid shortfall that's coming in the budget, if we wanted to expend some of those monies for health care, how would we do that without passing and ratifying another constitutional amendment?
Okay. Council is telling me you said something that I didn't necessarily hear you say, so I'll go with her answer. If it's changing, again, whether we're allowed to use the principal amount, okay, which would take a two-thirds vote, if you didn't think we'd be able to garner a two-thirds vote in the legislature at a crucial time that Medicaid was in trouble, as your example, or another crisis, then yes, I would agree the only way to undo that would be to go back to the voters. I would contend that you want a supermajority, that if we're in a crisis situation, certainly the members in this House and hopefully at the other end of the hallway would see it as such, and we would be able to obtain a two-thirds majority.
Okay, and I certainly appreciate the two-thirds language. I'm glad that it's in there. Because as I recall, there was no provision whatsoever for it to be, for the bill, for the legislature to direct those appropriations prior to that, or as it came from the Senate. I guess what I'm concerned about is, if I look at the language of the resolution before us, I'm looking at House Finance Amendment 3-5, which was adopted. The language says that even the investment income may be appropriated or encumbered solely for, and it lists those things. And so, for example, in my hypothetical where we need to put money into the healthcare system in West Virginia, we are prohibited from doing that and using these funds absent another constitutional amendment that passes each House by two-thirds and is then ratified by the voters. Is that correct?
I think you're blending the bill and the resolution.
Well, except that I'm reading straight from the resolution.
Okay, well, read that back to me again. Are you going from the amendment as it came out of finance?
I'm looking at House Finance Amendment 3-5, which, as I understand it, was adopted by this body, and we are about to vote on. And I'm looking, now, of course, it's not the lines are not numbered, but if you start under the title heading, Article 12, Section 12, Future Fund, and you come down about, looks like the second sentence, it says investment income of the Future Fund, of the West Virginia Future Fund, may be spent, appropriated, or encumbered after a term of 6 years, so we can't touch it for 6 years, following statutory creation, may be spent, appropriate, encumbered solely for enhancing education, workforce development, economic development, and it has that list of items which we are allowed. I do not see, for example, health care on that list. And so if there's a situation where we need to, the budget tanks, as we are worried about for the next few years, we have shortfalls all over the place, and we need to dip into this fund to devote some money to health care programs in the state of West Virginia, because this language is in the Constitution, we must then pass by two-thirds of each House and send to the voters for ratification an amendment that changes that language. Am I reading that incorrectly?
To the extent that the monies had already been deposited. So let's go back to the six-year period. That's correct. You would not be able to go back and touch that principal amount or any earnings from the first 6 years, okay? But then as we look at the legislation, there are triggers in there that we would not be depositing future monies into the future fund, and you could divert those funds to address whatever the financial crisis is at the time.
So you're saying we would change the legislation to not put money in the future fund?
Not change the legislation. I think as you'll see in the bill, there are triggers there that we would not be putting money into the future fund, period.
Well, I think the trigger was, I'm not sure if we're still at the 175 mark or the 500 mark under the bill.
It is actually in the House Finance Amendment that was adopted and would be offered when we get to the bill as opposed to the resolution.
So you're saying that until we hit that trigger, whatever that amount may be, we can divert that money however we like, and we don't have to change the Constitution to do that?
Again, and I'm not trying to split hairs.
Sure.
It would not be diverting the funds because they're not in the fund, okay? We're going to paint a picture that says we have other needs, and therefore we don't have the funds to put into the future fund.
Okay. And so we can, it's your contention that...
One of the items would be if we dipped into the rainy day fund in the previous year, you don't put funds into the future fund. And there are a number of items like that, again, sure, we can't say we're saving money on this hand if we're not paying our bills on the other hand. And that will be the logic you see, I believe, in the amendment that will be offered to the actual legislation.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
The question now is on adoption of the resolution. All those in favor will vote green. All those opposed will vote red. The clerk will prepare the machine. Has every member voted? If so, the clerk will close the machine and ascertain the results. There being 48 ayes, 45 nays, 7 members absent not voting, less than 2/3 of the members voting, less than 2/3 of the members elected having voted the affirmative, I declare the resolution rejected.